Matthew chapter 5, why are we talking about the brain on Sabbath morning? Matthew 5, 27 and 28, notice what Jesus said. You've heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her, where? In his heart. That's right. So we're not going to talk today about the subject of adultery, but we're going to talk about the subject of our brain. How does God work to transform us? We're talking in the Beatitudes. We've been there. I keep saying Beatitudes. We're actually not in the Beatitudes. We've been talking from the Beatitudes into the Sermon on the Mount. We've been talking about the Sermon on the Mount and how God is working for inner change, right? God is working to change your heart and to change my heart. Well, at the creation, the Bible gives this interesting statement. Genesis 2, verse 7. You might know this verse by memory, but I'm going to read it for you to jog those memories. Genesis 2, 7, speaking of the creation of humankind, specifically that of the father of our race, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a what? A living soul or a living being. So two ingredients went into our creation. The first was the physical matter. That was the minerals and all that stuff that you're made of, the carbon and the H2O, whatever. I don't know where the water went in, if it was a very wet sculpture. I'm not sure, but we're a lot of water. And then the next thing in was the gift of life, called the breath of life, that makes us actual living beings, right? Into Christianity, there came this notion of dualism. It came from the Greeks and the Egyptians and the Babylonians. That is, that human beings were a composite of a spirit nature and a physical nature. And in some cases, neither the two shall meet. In other words, they said you can do whatever you want to with your body because it doesn't affect your spirit, whatever you want to with your spirit because it doesn't affect the body. The creation story tells us that simply isn't true. We are a whole being. We are a whole system. And when God works on us and in us, it changes us physically. So spiritual growth is not, there is a, you might say, a mystical part of spiritual growth. There is sort of a part that we really don't understand. How can the Holy Spirit be in me? How can He fill me? That would be called a mystery. We don't understand how that's possible. We don't physically feel the Holy Spirit moving into our bodies. At the same time, Christian life is not limited to the mysterious transformation, but in fact, as you are transformed by the Holy Spirit's working, you are physically becoming a different person. So the imprint of your character is physically mapped out in your brain. And so when we talk about Matthew chapter 5 and God's desire to transform us, we need to not only be aware of how to connect with the spiritual component, what I would call the sort of the mystery component, where we don't see the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, but you see it working, that kind of mystery in the Christian life. We need not only know how to experience that component, but how to be in a place where the Holy Spirit can physically, practically transform us. Because in the end, all Christian transformation is impacting our whole person. It's literally remapping our brains. And so that we can understand how to practically cooperate with God's inner working, I want to talk today about the brain and in a couple of future sermons about how we can practically understand the interface between the Holy Spirit's mysterious work and the very physical, real work that we do in cooperation. Because we've talked about quiet time, right? But did you know what you eat at the breakfast table can affect what happens in your quiet time? Did you know that how active you are during the week can affect what happens in your quiet time? So it's not just about quiet time. It's also about having a brain that is susceptible to the molding influence of the Holy Spirit, not in just a mystical way, but in a literal, physical way. The Holy Spirit's changing your brain. And how can we have a body and mind that is susceptible to that molding influence? So let's do a little journey into the brain and how that works. This is presentation is actually a benefit of Lifestyle Matters. And there, Vicki Griffin and Tell me, what's the Vicki Griffin and who does she work with? Evelyn Kissinger, together, they're working on these presentations. So I'm not a neuroscientist, but they have put together some powerful information that will help us understand today. Perhaps it's a review for you, perhaps it's new, because some of what's been discovered in the last 100 years of brain science is incredibly groundbreaking. So we're going to look at that. In fact, more recently, groundbreaking as well. So let's take a look at our brain, and I'm hoping this is connecting. Oh, I'll have to push the button. Are we connected? We're not connected. Let's try this again. I don't mind pushing the button if I need to. That's okay. We will push the button. We'll put it up here. Sideways. Hopefully, is that staying connected up there? That should work. So let's look. I'm going to move this little thing over here. Let's look at some brain facts when we talk about building a better brain. Your brain is an incredibly flexible substance that is called plastic, and we're going to talk about that. It's not actually made of injection molded plastic, by the way, but here is one of these statements from Norman Doidge, a researcher from Harvard, and he tells us the brain is not an inanimate vessel that we fill. So it's not like a sponge in your kitchen sink. Rather, it is more like a living creature with an appetite, one that can grow and change itself with proper nourishment and exercise. So start thinking of that brain of yours not as a passive gray mass, but as an active, living, hungry organism that is soaking in and sucking up, whether you are pre-1-year-old, as Kent is, or whether you are post-100. Your brain is still soaking up. It's still this hungry organism, craving knowledge, reorganizing itself, and eager to discover new things. Here's a little look at the inside of your brain. Your brain, by the way, is about 3 pounds. But your brain contains 100 billion neurons and 85 billion other cells. So that little brain of yours contains incredible connections and, in fact, is still the most powerful computer in the world. And even if it were not the most powerful computer in the world, they have not yet engineered a computer that can match our brain's computing power and fit in the same space as our brain. So even if they achieve a computer network that can equal the brain computing power, it will not yet fit in the space between your ears. So we have an incredible brain. The brain is composed of a few parts. There is the neuron. You can see the nucleus there and that thing on the right side. And then there are the neurons along which the electrical messages between the cells fly. Then there is the axon. The axon are those branches along which the electrical signals fly, and those messages go to the synapse, toward the synapse. We'll look at the synapse in a minute, and the messages are communicated across the synapse, which is a gap, and the dendrites, those little branches sticking out from that nucleus, are the receptors of those neurological signals transmitted by the neurotransmitters. And the neurotransmitters there are at the synaptic gaps between the dendrites. I get between the connections from the axon and the dendrite. There's a synapse, a small gap across which neurotransmitters function to send the signal chemically. Transmit this signal from the one neuron to the dendrite of the other neuron. And so those transmitters are like the Pony Express. They can travel at 250 miles an hour. The chemicals between the sending and receiving neurons, and that's how the messages get sent through the brain. And a synapse there, it describes as a small gap. And the neurotransmitters work in that gap to send the electrical message chemically from one body, from one neuron to the other. Those messages, relay messages that have to do with from other nerve cells, they can relay messages that affect muscles as well as glands. And one of the things to remember is that this chemical activity, one of one body system affects the other. So if your muscles are fatigued, they're going to impact your brain. If your glands are secreting something, that's going to affect your brain. So these work as kind of an orchestra working together, and one impacts the other. As human beings, we are created unique. We have an incredibly large brain, and for the average animal world, and a part of that is our highly developed frontal lobe, and that's where we make decisions. It's in that part of the brain where you decide whether to get up in the morning or not, where you decide whether to eat that extra slice of pie or not, where you decide whether you're going to love that cranky person or whether you're going to go to the other room. That's where we make those kinds of decisions. And so let's look at number two. This is your brain is plastic. And I said this doesn't mean it's injection molded. Plastic refers to the brain's ability to adapt. Oh no, I just went to the end. We better fix this. Let's go down here. Your brain is plastic. So maybe you learned something new. In fact, you are changing your brain. Let's read that, make sure it's the right thing. I'll read that statement to you. And here's what it says. Not made of plastic, but made with plasticity, meaning it can be shaped and changed with new experiences every time you learn something new, whether you feel positive or negative emotion. It's coming a little slow here. Or take a drug that acts within the brain, you create, weaken, or reinforce connections between neurons. These connections influence your future behavior. So as you and I live, as you and I go from day to day, we're literally affecting the physical makeup of our brain, reorganizing those neural connections, reorienting our inner brain structure, which then affects how we live our life in the future. And it includes both creation of new neurons, make sure I'm not getting ahead of myself, includes the creation of new synapses, and includes as well the creation of new nerves, which is a remarkable new discovery in science we're going to get to in a minute. The ability of the nervous system to wire and rewire itself in response to lasting changes in experience has become known as experience-dependent plasticity. The downside of brain, yes, that's what it says. We'll wait for it to come up. The downside of brain change, called the plastic paradox, is that some of our most stubborn habits are products of the same neuroplasticity. Any of you have habits? Yes. And so the fact that your brain is plastic means that you can start today a habit. And maybe it's a bad habit. And as you practice, repeat that process, it's going to be wired into your brain. That's the downside, the paradox of neuroplasticity. The good thing is, the powerful brain structure that led to those habits in your life has the capacity, that led to the creation of wrong habits, has the capacity to lead to the creation of positive or good habits. So the fact that you have bad habits present is simply a testimony to your brain's plasticity, to its flexibility, to its transformability. It may mean you've got some work ahead of you, but the fact that you have a bad habit, you can take it as a reminder that you have the capacity in your brain to develop a new habit. Can you say amen? You are not a predetermined creature. You are not stuck in a prison. You can be a new person. Number three, your brain is modifiable. Thinking, learning, and acting can turn our genes on or off. Isn't that incredible? You know, science used to say you are a product of your genes. Some scientists still say that, unfortunately. But in fact, your brain is so powerful that it can actually turn switches in your genes on and off that affect your body's development, thus shaping our brain anatomy and our behavior. Surely one of the most extraordinary discoveries of the 21st century, this idea that your brain can control the expression of genes, that it has the power to adapt, learn, repair itself, grow, and regulate even the work of our genes. The brain is able to remodel its connections in order to adjust to changing conditions. Don't like chains? Is your life in flux? Your brain has the power to adapt to that new environment and prosper in spite of the circumstances. There are three major brain influences. The first one is genes. The second one is environment. And the final one is choices. Now, we don't have power over our genes. That was a gift of mom and dad. We don't always have a power over our environment. Sometimes our power over environment is limited, but we do have a power over our choices. And those choices affect our genes and affect our environment. Notice a statement from Dr. John Rady. And he says this about the brain. The brain is not a computer that simply executes genetically predetermined information or predetermined programs. Nor is it a passive gray cabbage victim to the environmental influences that bear upon it. Genes and environment interact to continually change the brain from the time we are conceived until the moment we die. And then choices. And we, the owners, to the extent that our genes allow it, can actively shape the way our brains develop throughout the course of our lives. So not only do we have the ability through right thinking to affect our genes, as the Holy Spirit works in your mind, His work is actually affecting the expression of your genes. You're not locked into the track with which into the genetic makeup you were born with. Certainly, some aspects of that are pretty inflexible, but there are other areas which are definitely flexible depending on your mental state. Number four. Our brain generates, this is incredible, our brain generates new nerve cells. We used to think you were born with all the brain cells you were ever going to have, and all you could do was lose them. You may have been warned sometime, if you do that, if you behave that way, you're going to lose brain cells. Right? You hold your breath too long, you breathe that stuff, drink that stuff. Now, certainly, we don't want to risk losing brain cells, but in fact, the science tells us that that idea is plain wrong. In fact, we make new nerve cells. That's from Guy McCon, medical doctor. So from the time of your conception, whenever that brain manufacturing starts, to the time of your death, your brain is actually making new nerve cells. Now, we're going to learn that those new nerve cells are not given a job to do until you give them a job to do. And so part of our work with our brain is not only to have an environment where new nerve cells develop, but to create an environment where those new nerve cells are directed to be part of beneficial good habit patterns. Let's read another one on this brain's ability to build new brain cells. And this is from Seminars, Cell Developmental Biology, I believe. The adult brain produces new neurons in substantial numbers, a phenomenon that has been firmly established since its initial discovery. So the brain you had when you were born, the brain you had when you were 6 years old, is not the same brain you have today. It's not even containing the exact same brain cells you had, because those are generating and continue to generate in large numbers as you age. So through new dendrite connections and new nerve cell generation, the learning centers of the brain receive a constantly replenished supply of robust, ready-for-action neurons that might either replace older neurons or augment them. So what happens is, as these brain cells form, they create the opportunity for new connections. Our choices then, our lifestyle habits, our mental thinking habits determine how those new connection opportunities are going to be used. In other words, the brain cells are available. Our life choices determine how they're put to work and what they do. The 6-week growth span of these nerve cells is the best time to engage them, because they're the most available for work. They're just getting out of college and they're looking for their first job. And so as your brain is developing, as these new neurons are developing, that's the time that we want to use them. Now, of course, we don't know, you don't go to sleep at night and see the list of neurons developing. So it means that we simply practice a lifestyle of engaging our brains in a positive direction, so that as these nerve cells, in a sense, are born, that they're put to use for good purpose. And let's continue. The new neurons are more excitable than the neurons that moved into the neighborhood years before and easily form new synapses, forging connections with existing neurons that become the basis for new circuitry. So exercise is important, but the most important part of your neurons survive based on their usage. Your neuron connections survive based on their usage. So while a healthy diet and exercise are important, one of the most critical factors in maintaining a healthy brain is how we use that brain. Do we spend time cultivating our brains in positive ways? And you know, today it's fascinating how many hours are spent doing non-productive mental activity. Anybody know what we're talking about when I talk about non-productive mental activity? Anybody have ideas? Yeah, the media, most of the media we consume is non-productive mental activity. And it fits in one basic avenue of the brain. So if we leave our brains doing that non-productive mental activity, we can expect that the new neurons won't have much work to do, and that existing neurons will eventually lose a job. And when you lose a job, you move away. Something happens. So we want to make sure that what we do with our brains is not simply having a healthy body, but creating an environment that encourages our new neurons to be put to work for a good use. My wife's grandmother just took a class. She's, how old is your grandmother? She's 85. In her 80s, she just finished a class on sign language. So I don't know what you're doing. Maybe you need to go to school. Maybe you need to read a book that you never imagined you could read. Maybe you need to memorize a list of new words or try to include them in your vocabulary. Maybe you should do something as simple as take a new route to work for the next week. Those kinds of activities, whether they're small changes, eating a different cereal for the next week, or switching up something in your life, as simple as the chair you sit in when you get home from work. Those kinds of things push the brain into a development mode instead of being in the old rut mode, and help to create a learning environment. Help to create a learning environment so as those new brain cells become available, you're creating an environment where they're put to work rather than left by the side of the road looking for a job. Number 5, your brain is integrated. And I just missed it. Your brain, immune, and endocrine systems are actually joined to each other, as I mentioned before, in a multidirectional network. So what happens in one system affects the other system. And so if your brain says you're sick, you may very well become sick. And that And whether or not there's a germ in the body, your brain can decide to become sick. And then the system begins to be more susceptible, and all of a sudden you find just going to the doctor. Because your brain said you're sick, and it affected the rest of your body. There are five ways when we talk about healing the brain. There are, I think it's five basic areas that we want to think about. And these areas we're going to talk about as we wrap up today. And I'm going to put them all on the screen. And so those five areas are assessment, environment, lifestyle, connections, and managing stress. Those are the five core areas we want to think about as we think about our brain and how to have a brain that is open to new learning experiences, that is open to being molded and moving in a positive direction. And so here are, this is a quote from, I believe, Dr. Rady again, talking about our brains and how they develop. And he says this, when learning occurs in a way consistent with the laws that govern brain plasticity, the mental machinery of the brain can be improved. Apologize, these are slow transitions. So that we learn and perceive with greater precision, speed, and retention. We can also change the very structure of the brain itself and increase its capacity to learn. And so remember those five areas for learning. We're going to talk about the first one, assessment. This is something you can do with in your quiet time with the Lord. It says you can do it with your doctor, but I find that my time with God, as I push the world out and I spend time in quietness, He speaks to my heart, and I can take time to assess my mental environment, assess my what's going on in my mind, the things that are bothering me. And I can begin right there in my quiet time with God to allow Him to take me through the process of processing those hurts, those pains, those fears, those anxieties. And so I can begin at the beginning of my day to begin choosing my mental outlook, choosing how I'm going to respond, creating an environment that fosters brain change. You can also do it with your doctor, and you can work with your physician, your healthcare provider, and lifestyle changes, by the way, can result in reducing or eliminating medications, but of course you don't do that without talking to your doctor. Environment. We talked about the environment and ways we can enrich that environment. And think of your own environment. What kind of learning environment do you have? And I want to say something here. You know, we think of learning environments in a positive way. I'm going to create, you know, this guy's sitting by a fire. He's got a very warm environment to learn in. But what if you're in a hostile environment? Is that a positive learning environment? Did someone say it can be? Did someone say it can be? That is absolutely true. So don't restrict yourself to saying, well, I'm not in the right environment, so I just don't have a good opportunity for brain change. You make of your environment what you want. You may be in a difficult relationship. You may be in a work situation. You may have physical issues that create a difficult environment. But consider those a learning opportunity rather than a learning restriction. Say, you know what? This is the environment I have. Here's the environmental things I can't change. What can I do with them to have a healthy relationship with them? These are the environmental situations I can change. You know what? I can find a different job, or I can sit in a different place in the evening when I'm reading instead of where the cars are going by and the noises. I can, you know, we can choose some environmental things and some things we can't choose. But don't discount the negative environmental factors. Turn them into positive factors that give your brain a challenge to adapt, a challenge to learn new skills of coping, and so that whatever environment you're in, this is becoming a positive learning environment because you're choosing to relate to it that way. Here are some things about environment. Your environment affects the generation of new brain cells, affects connection density, affects your brain weight, affects the survival of brain cells. So how you care for your body, the environment you give your brain to live in, affects how long your cells are going to last, and affects blood supply to your brain, And so getting exercise, those kinds of lifestyle things are important for keeping your brain supplied. If your brain's active, it's going to demand more blood supply and be a healthier brain. Also affects your brain cortex thickness. You can do things like, have you ever thought of what you might want to learn? I mentioned going back to school. But you might want to look at your list of things you want to accomplish in life. And do you have any purpose? Are you striving to make a change in your life? Are you looking to accomplish something? Find a goal and pursue it. Find some objective and pursue it. Find something that has mystified you and try to figure it out. Give yourself a brain challenge. And those kinds of challenges will help you to grow and develop and have a growing, healthy brain. Lifestyle. Lifestyle choices, critics say, aren't that important. But listen to what Rady says. While the critics say that a focus on ordinary measures, like exercise and diet, is too simplistic to affect unordinary behavior, he goes on to say this. There are many tools right at our fingertips for changing our mental health, both in correcting our problems and simply in becoming the kind of person we want to be. We have lifestyle tools. Seventh-day Adventists are blessed with many lifestyle tools. We have the CHIP program, depression recovery. Those are lifestyle tools to affect the learning capacity and learning health and long-term health of your brain. So even though it may be about what we eat, it's actually affecting the quality of health that our brain is experiencing, which means it's affecting our ability to be transformed and worked on by the Holy Spirit. Is that interesting? So how we take care of our brain affects our susceptibility to the Holy Spirit's work in our hearts, because he's not only working in us in a mysterious way, but very literally changing the physical properties of our brain. We need to manage stress. I think this is the last of our environmental change. There's two more. Managing stress and then connections. So make sure you manage stress. I don't know what kind of stress in your life exists in your life, but listen to what Fred Gage says. When people under stress experience severe memory problems, it's often because, or it can be attributed to, reduced activity in the hypothalamus. And that reduced activity decreases neurogenesis or the production of new neurons. So if you have significant stress in your life, find a way to deal with that stress. Sometimes a long run or a long bike ride is helpful for me. For you, it might be taking a walk. It might be going to a place that has good memories, a park in town, going to a symphony concert. I'm not sure what it is, but finding ways where you can alleviate that stress, because that stress in your brain is going to reduce your brain's adaptability, your brain's production of new neurons. So we're talking about change, right? The Holy Spirit is talking about changing the very core of our person. And so we want to think, how can I keep my brain in the best learning environment possible so that as the Holy Spirit's working on me, I am susceptible to that neurological, that real physical change that the Holy Spirit is doing in my life. So make sure stress is not impeding between you and the Holy Spirit's work. Now, after all, didn't Jesus say, seek first the kingdom? I think there's a real reason, a physical reason why Jesus said that, and that is that if we're stressed out pursuing the things of earth, pursuing survival here, if we're stressed out trying to manage and balance all the challenges of life, our brains have a reduced learning capacity. But if we're seeking first the kingdom, if we're resting our cares at his feet, then our brains have an increased learning capacity, which makes us more susceptible to the inner working of the Holy Spirit. So whatever our past habits have been, they're more susceptible to transformation by the work of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that incredible? That God has made you in such a way that you actually physically are a changeable, moldable person. And finally, remember that connections are important. Not only do people can people negatively affect you, but your relationships can positively affect you, both your human relationships with other people, but your relationship with God. Those relationships create lead to longer life, improved mental health, less substance abuse, stronger immunity, less depression, and more optimism. So if you have healthy relationships, cultivate those healthy relationships. If you have negative relationships, make sure that you think critically about how you manage those negative relationships, because they're going to negatively affect these factors, and those positive connections are going to positively affect and work in these positive ways to enhance your learning environment. Remember, finally, that you and I, all of us, are a work in progress. And here is what William James says. Attention is a mental state that allows us moment by moment to choose and sculpt how our ever-changing minds will work. You and you alone choose who will be the next... What in the world did I not go to the right one? Let me go. No, I just read the wrong... To choose who will be the next moment. In a very real sense, these choices are left embossed in physical form on our material selves. This is the Holy Spirit. In other words, as the Holy Spirit and you work together, you're physically being transformed. Isn't that amazing? If you could map out your brain last year and then cooperate with God's work in your life this year and map it out again, you would actually see the physical imprint on your life from the Holy Spirit and His touch. Jesus said, you can feel the wind. The Holy Spirit, you can't see His work, but you can feel the wind. Well, the wind rattles the trees. The wind and the hail shredded the leaves on the trees. And we even have an insurance claim that we're able to collect some money on. That's a negative impact of the wind. Wind moves the sailboat across the sea. The wind sculpts the sand in the desert. So even though you can't see the wind, you can see the lasting impact of wind physically. That physical impact is in your brain, and the people around you experience the impact, the physical impact of the Holy Spirit's work in your life is experienced by the people around you and yourself. This woman, her name is Taylor Strok. Anybody heard of Taylor? I'm sorry, Jill Bolt. Anybody heard of Jill Bolt? She wrote a book, A Stroke of Insight. I think that's what it's called. Yes, Stroke of Insight. And in her book, she recounts she had a tragic stroke at a young age, and several years of hard work gained improved mental function. And this is what she tells us from her book, A Stroke of Insight. And she says this, you and you alone choose moment by moment who and how you want to be in the world. Own your power and show up for your life being bright. And I want you to think about this as we conclude in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4. The path of the upright is like the shining light, sun, that shines ever brighter until the full day. You own the power over your brain. What we're being challenged with this year is to allow the Holy Spirit to transform us, to get down to the synaptic connections in our brain, to our motivations, to the very heart of our being. Today we looked at how our physical brain is very moldable and changeable. Reminds you and me that no matter what rut we're stuck in, no matter what wall we're up against, if you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life, He can literally rewire those physical connections in your brain. He can mold you into a whole new person, and you can grow in grace, as the Proverbs writer says. Your life can shine more and more unto the perfect day, unto the coming of Jesus. You can continue to be transformed. That's why, as one author said, sanctification, transformation is the work of a lifetime, because your brain, that gray matter in your head is like a hungry animal, and it's hungry for change. So as you think about the spiritual life, what I want you to realize is that your spiritual life is directly tied into the physical life. There is no disjunction between your spiritual world and your physical brain. That is all together. So think about how you can create a learning environment in which the Holy Spirit's work will be most productive in your life. As we'll continue this a little bit, because we're going to talk about God's expectations for purity in our minds and how does that look. But I think this is an important foundation to understand that we can enhance our mental transformation by how we care for our bodies. And that as the Holy Spirit works in us, He's physically affecting the structure of our brains. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this, that as the psalmist said, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Sometimes we take for granted how amazing our bodies are. Sometimes we're careless with how we treat them. Help us, Father, to appreciate this amazing brain and the body that supports it. Help us to remember that as we seek spiritual growth, in a very real sense, we're seeking physical change. That we would understand that our spiritual life is really tied into our physical life. And that we would live aware of that connection and seek to do all we can to be in a place where you can literally change us, change who we are. Thank you for your power that works in us. Thank you that as we walk with you, we grow more and more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.